In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first-time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now, these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome in, Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game, but Willard off this week, so it's Mark Randy and Jason Dumas in for Mark Willard. Dan Dibley holding it down as always here on 95.7 The Game. Welcome in. Happy Wednesday, happy day before the 4th of July. Great to have you on all the way until 6 here today on 95.7 The Game. We've got a lot to get into as always as NBA offseason continues, free agency continues, the Golden State Warriors, no new move since we spoke to you yesterday afternoon. However, there is something in the hopper for the Golden State Warriors, and that is Buddy Hield, a potential sign-and-trade with the Philadelphia 76ers. Buddy Hield, a free agent to be, or he is a free agent, but the Warriors do not have the ability to go out and sign a free agent at the moment, so they are hopeful they can get a sign-and-trade done. It's not complete just yet, but there is reason to be confident the Warriors will be able to get that done. Philadelphia has plenty of cap space, and there's not going to be a major holdup on that side, and it's not as if Buddy Hield is going to demand a ton in return. So that seems like it's very, very possible. You add on to that what the Warriors did earlier this week with D'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson. You've got the beginnings of what could be a good free agency period, guys. We'll talk about that. We've got some more Klay Thompson think pieces that have been published, as we were just talking about on the crossover with Steiny and Goo, Ramona Shelburne and Kendra Andrews of ESPN, Sam Amick of The Athletic, even our old friend Logan Murdoch from The Ringer put out a long piece on Klay Thompson. It was the one that you mentioned, Dibs, on the SF Gate. We don't need to get into that. A lot of things coming out here about the Warriors and specifically Klay Thompson, and we'll get to all of that before we're done today, guys. But welcome in. It's good to be with you guys once again. Hope everyone's staying cool. I know, Jason, you are. You're fine with this 100-degree weather, but off-season. Off-season so far for the Warriors. What are we thinking? Overall, you lose Chris Paul. You lose Klay Thompson. You lose Lester Quiñones, some other small pieces. You make a couple of draft picks. You get Lindy Waters. You draft Quentin Post. But the big additions, D'Anthony Melton, Kyle Anderson, and Buddy Hield with a question mark next to Buddy Hield, but it seems likely. What do we think? What do we think of the Warriors offseason so far, guys?
B. You know? I mean, when they lost Klay and lost CP3, and for a hot second it was looking like they were losing both of those guys for nothing, it was way more worrisome. But now I'm at the point where it's like, all right, Buddy Hield, D'Anthony Melton, and Kyle Anderson, all three good players. And it seems like the Warriors are setting themselves up for another move. So right now, I think Mike Dunleavy has done fine. A B.
What do you think, Dibs?
I got him in a C plus. You know, it's always a C plus. It's kind of my bit. Like anytime we do draft grades, because we don't really know, right, until we see the fit. But I think that Melton is a guy who can come in and maybe he's your starter. Maybe he's a good rotational piece. And, you know, slow-mo, as we talked about, not a huge fan of the move. But I do like Buddy Hield. I think he's a guy who can come in the Klay role and be just a pure shooter. He's a guy who shoots almost all three-pointers. And so we talked about needing additional shooting and additional spacing. He's a career almost 40% three-point shooter. So for me, the Buddy Hield piece is what brings it from probably a C minus D into that C plus B minus range based on, you know, the fact that he's somebody who can come in and provide what you haven't had so far, which is actual offense.
I think if you were to look at the offseason maybe in a vacuum and kind of forget the predicament the Warriors are in, I maybe you would call this an underwhelming offseason so far. But I think considering the relative, like the goals, the lines that Mike Dunleavy had to tiptoe along and try to avoid, like walking on eggshells here, because he's got to cut salary and he's got to make a decision on Klay Thompson. And of course, it was not just up to him. It was, I'm sure, a decision that maybe was handed down from above. And it was, we're going to get under not just the second apron, but we're going to get under the first apron, and we're going to get out of the luxury tax potentially as well. Considering all of that and the fact that while they are still cutting salary, that they don't have a ton of flexibility, and you are saying bye to a franchise legend, and you don't really have many ways to go out and acquire new players, I think the offseason has been as good as you could hope for to this point. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be a championship team so far, but if I were to ask you guys, is this Warriors team as currently constructed, and let's just assume that Buddy Hield happens, it seems likely that it's going to happen. If we can assume that, and I'll ask you this, is this Golden State Warriors team better right now than they were when the season ended? Again, you lose Klay Thompson, you lose Chris Paul, you gain D'Anthony Melton, Kyle Anderson, and Buddy Hield. Because for me, guys, I know Steiny was talking about it just for a moment there at the end of the crossover, thinking that there's a chance this Warriors team could be better as presently constructed than last year. I'll take it a step further. I think this Warriors team is better now than they were when the season ended.
I agree. Probably not much better. Probably not good enough to do anything of relevance based on the expectations of this fan base that have formed over the last decade or so. So, yeah, I say better, but what does that really mean to these fans?
You were the 10 seed. What does that make you? The 8 seed?
8, like, 7, yeah, 8? Yeah, maybe better, especially if you get better luck in some of the guys like Draymond staying on the court more, which you figured it can't get much worse than that, you would hope, with everything that went down with him in terms of suspensions last year. So I think it's a little better. And like I said, I don't think they're done. I do not think they're done. Yeah, I mean, there'll be no Dario Saric. He didn't do much. No Lester Quinones. He didn't do much. My only issue right now is they still have like a 12-player rotation pretty much. And
that's a good point.
They need to consolidate. They need a guy who is significantly better than the rest of the pack. Like, they need a clear-cut second-best player. And if they can acquire a clear-cut second-best player and sacrifice that depth a little, because I think the depth was their issue. Like, they had so many guys. Steve Kerr was probably a headache. It was probably a headache coming up with lineup combinations.
He said as much over and over again.
I got a bunch of guys who are just like, all around the same talent level. If I have this guy in, GP2, Pods, Kuminga, Moody, CP3, Wiggins, it's like all of them are more or less doing the same thing out there. I need some guys who are going to make my decisions easier. And that's what they need to do. Like, if the season starts with this roster as currently constructed, do I think it might be a little better? Yes, but I think they'll run into the same issues. So I am hoping that they are still making moves behind the scene. And like I said it yesterday, I gave Mike Dunleavy a vote of confidence. I still have it. I think he's going to make something else happen. So as currently constructed, yeah, marginally better. But what does that really mean?
Right. And marginally better. And I think you hit on it, Jason, just the idea of, you know, too many pieces, not enough frontline guys. You've got right now with this roster, assuming Buddy Hield is there, you've got Steph, and then you've got probably 9 guys who are between 2, 3, 4, and 5 on your roster. And so you don't know who you're going to have. And it's kind of like last year, where is it going to be Wiggins? Well, it wasn't. It was Kuminga for a while. It was Klay for a touch. And then Draymond was gone for a month and a half. And then you had all these other pieces. Nobody could ever get into a flow. Moses Moody was a start and stop kind of a guy. And so you never had that 8-man, 9-man rotation that you knew was going to be your team. And I think you're right, Jason. You look at this team right now, and they've got 10, 11, 12 guys who all can warrant about 20 to 25 minutes. You know, you got Steph and Draymond front line, and Wiggins is going to play a lot. But beyond those three, you're dealing with probably seven or eight guys who all are in that 15 to 22 minute range. And who are you going to play? It's hard to know.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. To this point, you get Melton, Anderson, Hield, question mark on Hield, but I think it's going to go through. You lose Clay and Chris Paul. Is this Warriors team better now than they were at the end of last season? Give us a call or shoot us a text on the Xfinity mobile text line, 888-957-9570. I think you guys bring up good points. While maybe you can argue that the top 8, 9, 10 of the roster maybe is better and marginally better, and maybe you're now the 8 seed instead of the 10 seed, like, okay, whoop-de-doo, it doesn't really mean all that much. But you are right that I could very, very easily see this Warriors team, this iteration as it currently is constructed, run into the similar issues they ran into this past year. There were so many times where it wasn't just that Steve Kerr had to choose who was in the rotation any given night or any given month of a season, because you want to try to give, you know, players a runway, but it was exactly that. It was that you weren't able to get anyone of those kind of fringe guys fighting for spots in any kind of rhythm, and you weren't able to allow someone to grow. And it's maybe been the biggest criticism of Steve Kerr the last couple of years. It's been the way that he's handled minutes for Kuminga and Moody, and even earlier in the season last year for Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis. I mean, Dibs, I know I've brought this up on this show a number of times. The only reason Pajemski started playing last year was in a game where Steph was out and where Draymond and Clay got ejected the first minute of the game.
Right.
And you were like, well, Pods, you're the only body we got left on the bench.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bench, go in and play, and he almost willed you to a victory.
What, you have 25 in that game?
Something like that. It was an in-season tournament game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Turned out to be one of the best teams in the Western Conference, and he nearly willed you to that victory. So that's kind of been the Warriors' issue, is maybe you don't really fully know, or you don't fully understand what you have because you don't have enough minutes to go around. So I think for that point, I agree with you guys, and it's why I thought at the trade deadline this past year there'd be like a consolidation trade where you trade away a couple of guys and get one guy back.
Right.
Maybe not necessarily because it's getting you a great player, but it just makes your minute allocation so much easier, and you don't have one of those guys, you know, coming in this offseason in terms of a superstar just yet, a star. You've got a couple more of those guys who are going to be fighting, as you said, for around 20 minutes a night. So that's part of the reason why I also feel like another move is being made. But at the very least, they're bringing in some quality and productive players.
Yes, but I think the other move kind of almost has to be made, quote unquote, because if you look at what you're going to have with, you know, Anderson and Melton, and you add Buddy Hield, and you've already got, you know, Steph and Draymond, and you've got Wiggins, you got GP,
You got
Pajemski. You got all these other pieces, like Jason was saying, and you start to think about how you're going to allocate minutes when everyone's healthy. And I know you're not going to have 82 games of all 12 of your top guys being healthy, but when you get into that situation, it's going to be hard to figure out how you're going to make that work. And I think Moses Moody, again, was the guy last year who was the odd man out. When everyone was healthy, he was the 11th man. And when you had injuries, he was the 8th man, 9th man, and he played great. And then you had guys come back from suspension and from being hurt, and then he got shuttled back to that 11th spot. And I know that Moses is in a situation where He's looking for that extension. He won't get the Kuminga money, but he's in the same boat, right, as far as, you know, getting that extension. So if I'm thinking about being Moses Moody and I look at all these moves and I look at my spot on this team.
You're thinking about last year.
I'm thinking about somewhere else. If I'm Moses Moody and I see Hield and I see Anderson and I see Melton and I see all these guys who are already ahead of me, I'm thinking, I'm going to my agent saying, hey, get me out of here. Get me somewhere where I can show out and maybe get a 4-year, $60 million deal the next time around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's looking like this year, Moses Moody is probably going to be in the same spot. I mean, they're down Chris Paul at the guard spot. They're down Chris Paul. They're down Klay Thompson, but they add D'Anthony Melton. Pajemski's going to play a lot. You know, obviously Curry's going to play a lot. Like, you wonder, where does Moses Moody go into that fold? And you got to scratch your head. And honestly, like I said, they're lucky that Moses has the temperament he does, because a lot of other players would have been said, what's going on? What's going on? It's not personal, but I'm not able to develop. I'm not able to get the opportunities that I feel like I should have. Trade me. I mean, I would have been wanting to leave if I was Moses Moody. Now, I've never gotten that indication. I know some of his representation is wondering, like, are we going to get our guy a chance? So who knows? But I would guess if Mike Dunleavy is trying to make a trade to get one of those needle moving players, a second best player, as I just said, and think he'll do, I would have to guess Moses Moody is involved in any of those trades, you know, and if he's not, at least clear up some space to give him a pathway to play, because he was a lottery pick. It was the last pick in the lottery, 13, right? He was a lottery pick. He, I
14,
mean,
I think it was 14. Yeah,
14.
Yeah. Last pick, yep. Right there at the end of the lottery.
Last pick, yep.
And, you know, he deserves a chance, and I just don't think he's gotten it. And this is going to be his fourth year in the NBA where he's never really gotten consistent rotation minutes to prove himself. Now, of course, I'm not in practice every day, so I can't speak to what everything is going on. But, I mean, we asked Steve, and it's kind of just the same answer every time. So, I don't know. I think Moses deserves a little better. I really do. And, but, you know, we'll see. Like I said, consolidate this roster. It's like having two quarterbacks. Whenever you hear a coach say that, it's like, you have two quarterbacks, really? So you have two guys who are kind of equally just okay. And that doesn't really do you any good.
Yeah.
You need like, instead of having like four guys who are interchangeable and can play the same amount of time, maybe have like one guy who can play 30 minutes and is head and shoulders better than all of them.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. The Warriors offseason to this point. Melton, Anderson, Hield, potentially Hield in. Klay Thompson, Chris Paul out. How do you view it so far? 888-957-9570. Let's go out to the phones. Up first is Nate in Santa Clara. Nate, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibs with Dumas, Grandy, and Dibs today. How you doing, Nate?
Doing well. Thanks for taking my call. I had a quick question. I forgot who on the staff said we're marginally better, but does marginally better with these offseason moves mean at least a top six seed to avoid the play-in, or are we still considered a play-in team? Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good
Nate,
question. Nate.
I'll answer that for me, and I still think you're a play-in team because you look at the teams around you, and a lot of the teams that are around you have gotten better. And I think Houston's a team that's going to get better. They were coming on at the end of the year, and you look at the other teams around that play-in bubble. Phoenix will be interesting to see if they can, you know, give it one last shot with their big, highly paid three, but they were ahead of you. The Clippers were ahead of you. The Lakers, I think, got better. So of all the teams around you, I don't think that you got better enough to leapfrog anybody.
And I mean, there was a lot of parity last year in the Western Conference. So like the difference between a play-in team and like the fifth seed was not a couple games here and there. So like, you know, the Warriors can finish probably anywhere from fifth to 12th, and it wouldn't surprise me next year as currently constructed. So, like, I mean, Dallas was the sixth seed and won the West, correct? Wasn't Dallas six?
They're five or six.
Because they played the Clippers in the
Phoenix
first round.
Was six,
wasn't
I think,
Clippers,
yeah.
Clippers, Dallas?
They were in the 4-5, yeah.
So, I mean,
because they got OKC in the second round, and OKC was the one seed.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're really, like, I don't even think Dallas is going to be all that good next year. I really don't.
Oh,
I think
you made a mistake?
I think Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a good fit.
I agree with you.
And I don't think Dallas was the fifth seed last year. Phoenix was the sixth seed. Dallas was only up on Phoenix by a game. You know, it's like a flip of a coin at that point. 50-32 versus 49-33.
And the Warriors won 46.
Yeah, and Warriors won 46. Like,
it was pretty jumbled up there for like 5 through 12.
10 through 4. In my opinion, 10 through 4, there wasn't this drastic difference. 4 is the Clippers, 10 is the Warriors. Not a drastic difference. So it's probably going to be like that again next season. And they could finish anywhere in that 4-10 range. And, you know, we'll see. Like, Dallas is a couple wins away from being a 9 seed. You know what I mean? And so it is what it is. Obviously, OKC, Denver, and Minnesota seem to be head and shoulders better than the rest. And then we'll go from there, because there was a 5-game gap between 3 and 4. That's kind of significant. But, you know, 4th seed had 51 wins. 5th seed had 50 wins. 6th seed had 49 wins. 7th seed had 48 wins.
Like, well, yeah, I wouldn't imagine the Clippers are going to be better. I don't feel great about the Lakers moving forward. Honestly, if I'm being honest there, Suns, that's a major wild card. If they can figure things out, who knows? But you guys are right. There are some other teams that missed the playoffs that will likely be better. Houston, like Grizzlies, Houston. San Antonio will be better. Maybe not a playoff team, but they will be better as well.
DeJounte make New Orleans? Does that move
New Orleans too? You're right. Yeah. I think they're a better team as well. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs, Dumas, and Grandy with you. Is this Warrior team better now? If we assume the Buddy Hield move goes through, are they better now than they were when they lost that play-in game to the Sacramento Kings? I think they are. We can talk more about that on the other side. 888-957-9570. And remember, the Warriors Offseason Summit is coming up on Monday, July 8th on the rooftop terrace of Fremont Bank's state-of-the-art new headquarters. It starts at 2 with Willard and Dibs live. The rest of the crew joins them from 4 to 6. Go to 957thegame.com to reserve your free spot today. More Willard and Dibs next on 957 The Game.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.